And I know sometimes I'm boring, and I know sometimes I'm hard to listen to, but I hope you'll really listen to this, because I've been preaching about this in this church for some time. And most of God's children, because they aren't ministers, pastors, they aren't directly, closely, intimately, personally involved in a relationship with the master who leads them. We're a lot more concerned about this than the average church member, but I want you to be concerned about it, and I want you to realize what you're getting into. Last week, on Tuesday, we're in the front room, and there are three women marching around the church building across the way. We think it's bad here. We think that some of our churches are going awry here. You haven't seen anything until you hit East Texas. You wouldn't believe the number of Baptists that are leaving true churches and going into the ecumenical movement. You would not believe it. Now, I know a lot of you, when I talk about Promise Keepers, and we have some people in this church think Promise Keepers is all right, but I'm just going to have to stand up to them face to face, because it's not all right. It's terribly wrong. It seems so good on the surface. This thing hit Huntington, Texas, a little before it hit us, and people started going to the Promise Keepers movements. Well, on the surface, it seems good. They say, you need to keep your promises to God, be good to your wife, and everything else. But it's an ecumenical movement, and it has nothing to do with us. I don't say we should go out and fight it and shoot them and parade against it, but don't get involved in it, because you wouldn't believe the people that have pulled out. And one of the dear friends I had down there, McGahee, Pastor McGahee, who went on to be with the Lord several years ago, raised his family in the admonition of the Lord. He was a good, solid, sound missionary Baptist. His youngest daughter has now gone off in this movement and is charismatic and is speaking in tongues and saying that all the things her daddy taught her weren't true. This is terrible. Listen, this is a mass movement down there, and it's going to get worse here. I want you to know it's going to get worse, and I hope that you've got enough gumption spiritually to recognize error and get away from it. The church in Huntington, Highway Missionary Baptist Church, is the last church in town that's standing up against it. Their pastor, he's a real nice young man. You'd love him. And, well, he's in his 40s now, but I call that young. And he has preached against it, done his very best to get the people in the church to realize what it is. And he's been doing this for years. And he has watched the whole town go to hell in a handbasket. They're all engaged in the ecumenical movement. It started off very innocently, just Promise Keepers. Well, to go back to what I was talking about, these three women were marching around the church. They were lifting up their hands and praying and chanting and going around it. So we went over there to see what they were doing. They said, we're marching around the church building 7 times. Bingo. Why are they marching around the church building, and why are they marching around the church building 7 times? What is the main theme of the Promise Keepers? To break down the denominational walls between the churches. 7 times they went around chanting and praying that we went over. And we said, are you doing this because you want the walls, denominational barriers to come down? Oh, no. We're just praying for this pastor. And we're praying for this church. We said, how many other churches have you prayed for? Well, we're going to get around to them. But this is the only church in town that's standing up against this movement. When the Promise Keepers started down in this area in Texas, it didn't seem bad at all. But people started going to it. Ask Jeannie Kreitz. When you get there, they pass out little pamphlets to you while they're speaking up in front. And these little pamphlets tell you can lose your salvation, and what Baptists teach isn't true. And eventually they lead people away. So they marched. We didn't stop them, because they had already been down to the police station, we found out earlier. And they wanted us to call the police, have them thrown in jail, so they could stand up for the faith. We just said, go right ahead and march. We invited them to church that night. They came that night. They didn't come back again. Now, that's what we're facing. And that is what is going to happen in this area, and it's going to follow the same pattern. It's just not as advanced up here as it was there. What's their problem? All right. As Kent was giving us devotional, see, I got this all turned over inside here, so I'll know where I'm going. Kent was giving us devotional. I got to thinking about it. And what was their problem? Well, before I tell you that, let me tell you about this group. We got up and I talked to them. I said, where do you go to church? She said, well, I used to be a Baptist. I used to go to First Baptist. I'm a member there. But she said, I transferred my membership. And they moved their membership there and they let them do it. I moved my membership to Ladies Aglow. She's in a national movement now called Ladies Aglow. And so she wasn't a Baptist anymore. Then the second one was a Methodist. And she had gone down to this Pentecostal group. See, Promise Keepers is in all this. She had gone down to this Methodist group. And this Methodist woman had gone down to this Pentecostal group, this Good Works Church, or whatever you want to call it. And the pastor told her that she had the gift of prophecy. And that he saw an angel sitting on her shoulder. I started to say, what kind of an angel was it? God's or the devil's? But I didn't. I wanted to be nice. The other was a member of an Assembly of God church. All the different groups are joining in down there. And there's a missionary Baptist church down there. And the pastor is so weak and lily-livered, it's got into his church and he's not preaching or saying anything about it. Well, I am not that way. And we are not going to have that kind of garbage. And if you go out and join some of these places, you're off this church roll if I have anything to do with it. Because if nobody else will bring a charge against you, I will. Because it's dead wrong. Well, it has really gotten into a mess. And you see, a lot of people say, well, Brother McElroy, Promise Keepers is a good thing. Promise Keepers is not a good thing. Because it leads into the ecumenical movement and it's trying to break down the denominational walls. And that's why they marched around the church 7 times. Well, look at what this says here in 1 Timothy 4 and 2. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, that in the latter times some shall depart from thee faith. That's taste piston, thee faith, the system of teaching and doctrine. What's going to cause them to do it? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines or teachings of devils. You say, Brother Michael Murray, Promise Keepers is of God because they teach you to be loyal to God. No, no, it's not. Do you expect the devil to come along in a red suit, cussing and drinking and kicking and rioting and saying, beat your wife? He's a little smarter than that. So they present truth so they can eventually lead you into error. These ladies said, oh, no, 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 we're not just marching around your church so the walls will come down. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Well, what's the problem and why are these people leaving the churches? Well, that's chapter 4 in 1 Timothy. Let's take a look back at chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Here's why they're leaving. But if I tarry long, if thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. These people that are being led off into this are people who wouldn't come to church and were members of the church. And this daughter of Brother McGaughey is one that she just wouldn't come to church. She wouldn't come. She wouldn't listen. She didn't want to know what God's word was. But she's perfectly willing to follow God in the flesh. If you can stir up enough emotion in your flesh, you'll swear it's of God, but it is not of God. And these people that are leaving true churches and going into this heretical movement are the very people who wouldn't come to church and learn God's word. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming? To whom coming means to keep on coming. To whom coming as unto a living stone. To whom coming? Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. People that are grounded in the faith won't pull out of a church. And I know sometimes I go on these kicks and I preach doctrine, 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 teaching, 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 teaching. But I'm teaching you out of a book. You start talking to them about the book, and they don't want to listen. I know, but I felt it in my spirit. God spoke to me. Oh, I feel it in my bosom. They live on feelings and emotion, and they're quite real to them. They're quite genuine to them, but they are not of God. They are of the flesh, and they are of man. The problem today in our churches is people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear God's Son's doctrinal teachings on what a church is supposed to be, how the people in it are supposed to behave themselves. But if I tarry long, if thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God that put on ground the truth. They say, you don't need to just stick yourself down that little old local church as much. Get out here with us and get in the movement and go around and preach. And just what these ladies are doing, marching around the church, praying that the walls will come down. No, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not of God, never was of God. God saved you so you could seek the kingdom of God. What they're doing is trying to distract men and women from fighting a daily battle against sin to seek the kingdom of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and let's go down to verse 33. You have got to be born again in order to seek the kingdom of God. He spoke this to a group of men who were saved, his followers. Nobody was there but the first New Testament church. They had followed him for a long, long time. He had taught them and was teaching them, and they continued to follow. He said, now, fellas, here's the way you're supposed to live. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You can't seek the kingdom of God if God hasn't imputed his righteousness to you through your acceptance of the death, burial, and resurrection of his son. And all these things shall be added to you. Now, it tells you how to live. It's no spectacular thing. It doesn't involve getting out, marching around, shouting, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God. It's nothing like that. Here's the Christian life. Take no thought, therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of it itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. Every day there's a battle to fight against sin in your life. And the devil will do anything to distract you from it. He'll try to get your flesh so emotionally stirred up that you're constantly involved in shouting, hallelujah, praise the Lord, God Almighty. And he'll get you so involved in the church activities and the things that are going on that you won't have time to fight that daily battle, and you'll continually give into it, but your conscience will get seared over with a hot iron because you'll stir up and down, you're serving God. But you won't be serving God, I guarantee you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a spiritual battle against sin in your flesh every day. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's the way you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not a spectacular thing. It's not dynamic dance. It's not a church filled with programs and activities and all the wonderful things that people look upon as being from God. Those things weren't in the first New Testament church, and sure, they were from God. Can you take some of these churches today and look at what they're practicing in the church building itself and what they're trying to do among the members? They're trying to turn them into a wonderful, loving family that continually come together and are always doing wonderful things together, and won't it be wonderful there? And they preach three things. Salvation. And Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. And some of these churches down there, you can belong to it, and you don't have to believe the same thing they do. You can believe in salvation by grace and security of the believer. Fellow sitting right back to you believes you can lose your salvation. You can believe you have to be baptized to be saved, and sit right next to a fellow believes you don't. That's perfectly all right with them, because they're breaking down the denominational walls and barriers. What they're doing is instituting the devil's church on this earth in the ecumenical movement. And I'm not going to sit still. I was so upset when I saw what those women were doing. I had a hard time controlling myself, but I was real nice to them. I wasn't mean. You don't get mean with people like that. You try to help them. Well, how do you help them, and what are you supposed to do? Let's go over to Jude, the book of Jude. And that's, of course, the book just before Revelation. And let's take a look at what these people are like. Let's look at Jude 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. You say, Brother Michael Murray, I know those people have got the Spirit because you ought to hear them sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Did you really expect them to act like the devil on the outside? Didn't you really expect them to put on an outward veneer of holiness? Didn't you really expect the devil to institute a church that hollered, praise the Lord, constantly, that performed miracles and did healings? Did you really think he was going to create some little dirt thing in a mold that you wouldn't have any attraction? Do you really think that the devil is not actively engaged in putting so many programs in our churches that they gradually lead us away from the truth of God's word? You know what the main problem is in most of these people? They never had the Spirit. You say, well, now, wait a minute. Cain never had the Spirit. And yet Cain showed up, and Cain offered a sacrifice to God. You go back through the Bible and look at all these deeply religious people. God drifted off the tips of their tongues like silver tinsel. They praised God. They shouted hallelujah. They tried on the outside to show the whole world how holy and religious they were. They wanted to make a manifestation that they were God's children, but it was on the outside and not on the inside, and they had never been born again. Some of those people that are leaving the movements in our church never were born again. And our churches are full of lost people. Our churches are full of people who never were born again. People who never received the Spirit. People who their family were missionary Baptists, and their profession of faith maybe have been very genuine. And yet when the children came along, it was expected of them to join the church. And because of the peer group pressure along the way, they thought they had had this experience. And yet they never had the experience. You say, Brother McElmurray, how dare you say that? I've got to say it. Because I see people in churches saved constantly. You don't go with me on these trips. You wouldn't believe the number of people that come down the aisles that are church members that get saved where I go. It's amazing. They never were saved. And the reason they've had so much trouble in church is they're trying to fight a battle against the flesh by their own power, and they're absolutely miserable. Well, all I can do is tell you this. What's the solution to the problem? What's the answer to the problem? But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Here's what praying in the Holy Ghost is to them. Oh, Lord, I'm down here at this altar. Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be able to have this gift and that gift. Oh, Lord, bless me and give me your Spirit. And they pray, and they vehemently try to jet up in their flesh such a sincerity before God that He gives them the Spirit. Well, they get a Spirit, but it's not God's Spirit. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, that's terrible. No, it's not terrible. This was written by the Spirit. Ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to give you spiritual abilities to discern the truth. Ask God to help you know the truth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that book was written by the Holy Spirit. And He tells you how to behave yourself in the house of God. And He tells you the things that you should pray for. And He gives you divine guidance in life as to what is truth and what is not truth. And you don't get it by some emotional experience where you run around trying to be sincere before God and saying holy things and being sincere and wanting God to give you this. It doesn't work that way. If you want these things that God has to offer you of a spiritual nature, then you better get that book. And you better read that book, and you better study that book, and you better follow that book. That's the way you build yourself up in the most holy faith. And that's the way you learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I got this special gift where I pray in the Holy Ghost. What you got is something in your flesh that stirred you up just like they used to stir us up at halftime when we were playing football. And the coach got us down there, and he got us so stirred up at halftime that we ran out on that field possessed by something, shouting things we didn't even understand, and on an emotional high, and we were sure it was some type of a great spiritual insight the coach had given us, and we were going back there, and we were going to disassociate ourselves from failure, and we were going to win the victory. So don't expect the devil to manifest himself in a red suit and to have a bunch of evil, wicked people going around trying to do his work. Don't be deceived if his ministers be transformed into angels of light, for the devil himself is an angel of light. God warned us about that when He wrote to the church at Corinth. So what are you supposed to do? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Where is the love of God? In whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. It's in the church. You say, well, this certainly doesn't seem very spiritual to me. These bunch here, they don't ever say amen. They just sit there and look like a bunch of dull cluckheads. Who do you think the Spirit is? Some emotional, wild person that hops over benches? Do you see that in the New Testament? Do you see slaying in the Spirit in the New Testament? Do you see all these wild, ferocious activities that are supposed to be a manifestation of God's Spirit? God's Spirit is a quiet, gentle, loving, small voice. And He speaks to the hearts of those who are seeking Him in such a way that it's gentle and kind and merciful and full of love and compassion. That's God's Spirit. I have God's Spirit. There's no question in my mind that I have God's Spirit. Because the things that stir me up are the things that are being done contrary to this book. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What is the love of God? You believe this book is inspired? You believe it's God-breathed? You believe it came directly from God? Well, if you love God, then your life ought to be based on this book. For Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, These people aren't getting sanctified by the Word of God, sitting in a church building, listening to it, and applying to their lives. They're getting some type of a sanctification in the flesh that just keeps building higher and higher and higher. How many of you have ever just watched Trinity Broadcast Network? You remember when it first started? It wasn't all that bad. They didn't have a lot of wild stuff going on. But you watch it. They continue to have to build up the temple. More drums, more shouting, more screaming, more yelling, more emotional experiences. Because you have to keep psyching up the flesh to make it believe it's spiritual. Well, what am I supposed to do? Cover all this up and say nothing? No. By the grace of God, I'm going to warn people. And I'm warning you. You better not get off in that mess. You'll be sorry if you do. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Some people get led off into this because they're young babes in Christ. They aren't people that have fought against the Spirit of God. They aren't people who have, for years, avoided coming to church. They aren't people whose activities in God's local church are hit and miss. They aren't people who never really had an interest for the Word of God. They're born again babes, but they're young in the faith. And spiritually, they don't know their left foot from their right because they haven't been exposed enough to the Word of God. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So, what's he telling us here? When you're pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment made unclean, spotted by the flesh, don't you get caught up in it. You know the horrible thing about it? I'm standing up here, and there's a good chance that some of you may end up in hell. Some of you may never have been born again. I can't look in your heart and see, and I thank God I can't. And some of you sitting right here this morning are fully capable of departing into error. Some of you may already be in error. My question to you is, have you been born again? And my question is, just how interested are you in the Word of God? And is your spirituality in the flesh? Or is your spirituality in the Spirit? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible says so in 1 Corinthians 15:50. But I tell you one thing. That creature that lives in your flesh is very religious. He is very religious. Cain was a very religious man. History is full of religious men who believed there was a God. Some believed that Jesus was his son. And they desperately, fanatically tried to help God save them when there's no way under heaven you can keep the law of God, the Ten Commandments, because you live in sinful flesh. When Christ died on the cross, he died to sin. He died to sin once. He forever took your sins in his own body on the tree and forever buried them with him. When you come to Christ, what you're coming to is the only person who ever put sin to death in the flesh. And when you come to him, God considers your flesh dead to sin. God looks down upon you and sees your flesh as having been put to death by Christ in his flesh. And you follow Christ. You don't follow these sensational movements. Sometimes I wish I could take you back, transport you all back to the time of the New Testament church. Sometimes I wish I could let you see what these scriptures indicate happened. They met together. There weren't a lot of amens. They didn't have a great orchestra to play. Someone played on a harp. They didn't always have a harp. What they had was a close personal relationship with God that grew in them. As it grew in them, they grew to love one another. As they grew to love one another, their harsh criticism of one another ceased. As they grew to love one another, their tattling and backbiting toward one another stopped. As they grew to love one another, they drew closer together as a body in which the Spirit of Christ could dwell without reservation. Christ is not in the Promise Keeper movement. Christ is not in many of these different things that have nothing to do with the Bible but have to do with the emotion of the flesh. If you're one of those people who say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, if you're saved, then you'll see it and then you'll understand it. Many of our pastors, well-meaning, have taken all the different techniques in the world that they see that have to do with what causes a church to grow and prosper, and they've brought them into the church. And every time a new movement comes up, they want to join with it. And those of us who are still following Christ can't understand it, why we're so unpopular. Yea, and they that live godly shall suffer persecution. We're not looked upon as popular, because as they're departing more and more from the truth, further and further away from it, we become more and more different from them, more and more separated from them. These movements are not of God, but they certainly seem to be of God. I don't question that. The Ministerial Alliance here in town lists my name on their roster. I've never been to a meeting. I've never joined it. Had anything to do with it. They constantly send me letters, call me, and ask me to come. What fellowship do I have with a man who believes you can lose your salvation? What fellowship do I have with a man who believes baptism saves? What fellowship do I have with a man who believes that unless I speak in tongues, I'm not saved? What fellowship do I have with these people? What connection do I have? None. And yet that's what Promise Keepers is made up. They say, we're just going to break down the barriers. Well, they are breaking down the barriers. But by the grace of God, as long as I'm alive, and you'll follow me as I follow Christ, they're not going to break down the barriers of this church. I wish you could have been there and watched these three women march around the church building 7 times, trying to break down the barriers. I thank God for that man, Lamar Denby, that's a pastor of that church. He's about the only one left down there in that whole area that's standing for the truth. Well, at least in the Huntington area. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's make up our minds that we're going to be nice to Promise Keepers. We're going to be nice to these other groups that believe completely different from us. But we're not going to fellowship with them. We're not going to associate with them. And we're going to let it be known that we follow Christ. And that we follow Christ through that book. And this is what we follow, not the emotion of the flesh. You know, when I was young, I couldn't distinguish between my flesh, my soul, and my spirit. Right now, at age 66, I could still be in the same position. I could still not be able to actually discern between my spirit, my soul, and my flesh. But I can, because of this book. I know the difference. I can tell what's of God and I can tell what's not of God. You say, well, I can too because I've got this gift. No. Because what these people are doing is contrary to the one they say gave them the gift. And many of the things that they do are completely reversed from what the Bible says. Not found in the Bible. Well, you're not all 66 years old. You haven't been exposed to that. I have. And I follow Christ. And I don't follow anyone else. And the way you follow Christ is through what this book says. Those of you who haven't followed Christ, those of you who aren't studying this book, those of you who aren't devoting your lives and time to it, you're the ones I'm worried about. I pray about myself all the time, because pride cometh before a fall. You better start studying this book. You better start wanting to know what God has to say. And you better stay away from these churches that don't preach the truth. And stay away from these organizations. I'm just trying to help you. This one pastor of this church down there, a Missionary Baptist church where the Promise Keepers got into it and began to bring in all sorts of people that weren't Baptist, began to bring them in there. This man, he was a nice guy, wonderful guy. And he said, well, you know, I know it's wrong, but this is something that, you know, it won't hurt. Let's just follow. Let's go to the meetings. Let's do this. Let's do that. Listen, when Peter came up, and started trying to go back with the Judaizers, Paul has stood him face to face. Now, you know me, I'm tactful. I try to get around things like this, but there's one thing I won't stand for. I will not stand for any departure from the teachings of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to have to stand for. And you can go ahead and shut her down, Chili. I'll blow up the world next Sunday. Lord willing. Lord willing. We'll get on this second trumpet next Sunday. Kenneth Hanley.